So remember, our goal for the summer is, as we look through different kinds of psalms, that not we would not just know more about the psalms, but that through the psalms, our relationship with God would expand, that we would have a better freedom to kind of roam around in the bigness of who God is, and to have a language, an increased language of prayer. Sometimes, and I know this just having kids as they grow up, you can understand more, you can learn more, you can rest more the more words you know. Your communication grows, and the Psalms are a language of prayer that I think expand our language for how we speak to God, how we interact with God, how we even follow and respond to God. And so that's our goal for this. Of course, Psalm 23, we just couldn't skip it. It's one of the most beloved funerals, which is okay, though that's a time to hear these words, but we must remember that at a funeral, the scriptures are not read to the deceased, they are read to the living. And that's what this psalm is really about. It's about living in relationship with God. The images here, and this is what images do, and this is why images are used. Images invite us and draw us into relationship with God. The images inspire us to trust God and to commune with God and to follow Him. And there are two images that Psalm 23 uses, but both of those images are aimed at drawing us deeper into that relationship with God. The first image that we see in Psalm 23 is what? What is the image? The shepherd, God as the shepherd. And just to get this out on the table, in this image, you and I are sheep. Okay? Which means we're not strong like a lion. We're not clever like serpents. We are not fast like an ostrich. We are sheep in this image. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. Sheep need the shepherd to lead them to food, lead them to water, to protect them from predators. What is a sheep going to do in the face of a predator? They can't run away. They can't overpower it. They cannot think their way out of it and trick them. They need the shepherd to protect them. For us, the trustworthy shepherd is God and God alone. Which means that if we are to follow God, then we don't rely on our strength or on our resources or on our cleverness. We rely on God. And whether we acknowledge it or not, there is nothing that we as human beings can accomplish without God. Without the breath to live, without the gifts that God has given us, without the experiences and the opportunities, there is nothing that we can accomplish. And especially when it comes to being the image of God to the world. That is where we need to acknowledge that God is our shepherd. If we are going to live the life that God created us to live, it is God who feeds us. We don't have to scramble around. And this is the image of making us lie down in green pastures. It's if a pasture is green, it means there is plenty of food. It means that the sheep don't have to have one meal here and then walk 2 miles to go and find the next bit of food. It means that you are resting secure in abundance. It's a green pasture. It's a place with plenty. We scramble around in our anxieties trying to find all of the things we think we need, and it's God who makes us lie down in a green pasture and says, "Rest here. Rest in me." It is God who leads us beside still waters to drink. And in the eating and the drinking, we are refreshed. Not just in body, but in spirit, in our souls. It is God who restores us when we are empty and have gone astray. It is God who knows the right paths, because God knows that there are lots of paths that we could choose to take. And it's God who knows, as we saw in Psalm 1, the end of all of these paths, and says to us, take this one, follow me. And it is God who walks with us when that path makes us feel vulnerable and afraid in the shadow of death. You see, it's not death itself, it's the shadow of it. It's the fear of it. It's the concern of what will happen. When will I die? How will I die? What is the worst case scenario? It's in the shadow of death that God accompanies us. And so one writer has said, the psalmist rejoices that Yahweh is like a shepherd in his provision, guidance, and protection, so that the psalmist lacks nothing and fears not. I love that phrase. In God, we lack nothing and fear not. How would you all like to live into that? To wake up in the morning and say, I lack nothing and I fear not. This is life with the shepherd. The second image is of a feast. You prepare a table before me. We are invited into a meal with God. And it's in the presence of our enemies, which may seem a little disconcerting, except to know that this is a feast, this is a party that your enemies cannot crash. The wicked of Psalm 1, the conspirators of Psalm 2, they do not enter into the feast and ruin it, because God is the host, and God will not allow it. In fact, it is as your enemies look into the feast, maybe they've mocked you for being a sheep. Oh, you're so weak, relying on God. You know, religion is just a crutch. You know, maybe you've heard that. Maybe they have, for whatever reason, they are your enemies, but now they see that you are feasting with God. You are feasting with God. Before you even go into the feast, God pours oil over your head and anoints you with it, which says to you, to me, that we are honored guests. Think about that. That God has prepared a feast, and at God's feast, you and I are anointed as honored guests in his house. And into this feast, you can come, but not the voices of shame or intimidation or manipulation or fear, whether from within or outside of us. Only you and I can come in. And as we enter, there is a table that is spread with a feast. Now, this is not what my family called growing up, meals on wheels. You know, you're at one place, and you go into the McDonald's drive-thru, and then you scarf it down on your way to the next place. That's not what this feast is. It is a lavish feast spread all over the table. The cup is not just full, the cup is overflowing. This is not a feast. This is not a meal that you eat in 20 minutes. This is a feast that will take the whole night. It's not a meal that is just made to give you the strength for your body. It's a meal that has been prepared for celebration, for feasting, to continue long into the night as we eat and as we drink and as we tell stories and as we share laughter. That's what this feast is about. And with each course and with each bout of laughter and with each story that is told, we know more and more truly that we are loved by our host. That our host delights in our presence. That our host simply enjoys sharing a meal with us. And this is a meal that sticks with us when we go. No matter how far we go, we cannot forget the goodness of our host or the mercy that invited us to feast with him. It's a goodness and a mercy that chases after us wherever we go and whatever we do. And the longer it chases after us and the more we embrace it, what we realize is that we are no longer a guest at this table. This is our home, our true and forever home. This is our family table that we share with God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.